on, America. I am Graham Allen, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast. We have an amazing episode today. Are we losing our religion as a culture and a society? One of the main members of the songwriting team for Hillsong has denounced his faith. So we have Pastor Micah Berteaux here to help us dissect this. We're also going to talk about the fact, is Fredo the new N-word for Italians? We're also going to talk about the hypocrisy of Donald Trump sharing a black conservative's video, now receiving death threats from the black community and members that disagree with him politically. It's going to be a good one. So sit back, relax, and welcome to the newest episode of the Dear America podcast.
Hey!
Alyssa, you came in early on the hay.
I'm sorry. I got excited.
Time.
I got really excited.
You're like a dancer and stuff. I thought you were supposed to be like time.
We're going to have a cheat sheet for right here. Don't come in early on the hay.
We're gonna create a cheat sheet, that like the big set list
like
for bands that are like this
yes,
big.
Yes, yeah. I love that idea. Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you're wondering why we sound a bit holier today while we are introing the podcast, we have Pastor Micah Berteaux here, lead pastor of the House Fort Worth. Micah, thanks for coming, man. You are an author as well. You've got a book that comes out September 3rd. Tell us a little bit about it. What's it called?
Man, honored, fired up to be here, hanging with you guys.
That's such church language. 3rd. Fired up to be here.
Right? This is awesome. And so September 3rd, wrote a book, going to be released on all platforms. It's called Love Changes Everything, Finding What's Real in a World Full of Fake. And I probably,
love that.
You know, you could probably agree, you need to find something real right now.
Yeah.
Because there's a whole lot of fake going on. Yeah. And,
amen, preach.
I do know that.
CNN.
Yeah.
He didn't say that. Yeah. That's Graham.
No, but the book really dives into really, because we're so love deficient, and when we're love deficient, we try to make it up with other things and a lot of opinions and a lot of emotions, and we try to fill the gap of what we think we need with what we want. But I really attacked it from a way of even growing up in church, but not really just, it's not like a churchy book only at the same time. I think it's really for anybody that's looking for something real, authentic, genuine, something that will absolutely change their existence and change the entire surrounding of our culture right now, which is really in a battle.
Yeah.
And I think we're really all trying to find what foundation are we on in the first place. And I really wanted to write a book that was more relevant than just, hey, this is just my heart. I want a book that speaks to you where you're at right now. So I believe that when the love of God takes your life over, it will change every aspect of your life. Then you cannot give what you do not have. So then you can start to give love. And a lot of times we're trying to give love from a place that we're empty. And you know, it's like, I'm trying to give you. So that's really kind of the premise of the book, to live from love, not for love. Because when you live for love, again, you're out there trying to find on your own the answers to your own problems, the answers to your own issues. Instead, there's something else, and there's somebody else that can help you with that.
Preach.
We got a preacher on the podcast today, ladies and gentlemen.
That's good.
So real quick, all right, I think we could all agree that we could use a little more love in today's society. But the reason that Micah is here, outside of his amazing book that comes out September 3rd, that you should definitely pre-order now, he is here because there are definitely things that are going on. Politically, we're going to talk about things like normal. Today is question day, so we have questions from you guys.
Jinx, Jake.
Some of them for the whole table, some specifically for Micah and religious talks. But the reason that he is here is a lot of you have heard about Hillsong. Hillsong is in the news across the world now. Marty Sampson has stepped down, and he was the lead, if I'm correct, the lead songwriter for Hillsong, or one of the lead.
He was one of the songwriters over years ago, but as of like the last few years, he was not in that circle.
Well, see, that's why you're here, because we realize that none of us are 100% qualified enough to dive too deep into these things. And so Micah is here to talk about that. But before we do all of this stuff,
Alyssa has a story. Great. Here I go.
Okay. That's so, starting it off with a bang already.
I just want to say that last night we went to dinner. And Jake, you do not know this yet. And the bartender, we were not. No, it wasn't like that. we weren't sitting at the bar. Like, we had to sit. We had to sit at the bar. They said, sit at the bar, and then we'll get your table. So we're just waiting. We weren't drinking anything. But the bartender proceeds to tell me I look like Casey Anthony.
True story.
Like, I was like, you mean the child killer?
Has anybody ever told you that you look just like
the girl who
Casey
murdered?
Yes.
Yeah.
And I was like, no.
You're actually making me very uncomfortable.
Yeah,
you look so much
it was
like.
So awkward. It was that's so awful. Weird. That's it. That's all I got.
It'd be
I
like, it'd be
that
like me coming
good story.
Up. Has anybody ever
thank
told you, you know, just what's the name? What's O.J. Simpson. Yeah.
You look just like
told
him.
You look like Ted Bundy.
Yeah,
that's,
and
right.
it's like, that's yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what Mike, I was like, okay, what do you say to that? Thank you? Like, how do you respectfully respond?
All
thanks.
Right. Yeah. So let's just dive in and let's get some quick hitter news things out of the way. All right. I find this hilarious, but also kind of ironic in the same tone. Sarah Silverman. All right.
Is she still around?
Yeah, well, on Twitter anyway. She's still
enough.
Around. Anyway, Sarah Silverman regrets former blackface comedy sketch, laments cancel culture. All right. So basically, Sarah Silverman had a role or a movie canceled she was in now because she did a blackface comedy sketch years ago.
My God.
And anyway, so I found this interesting. I am also against cancel culture. I think it's ridiculous that we have to cancel things because of things people did that weren't offensive before.
Hashtag me too.
How does Jimmy Kimmel still have a show when he made fun of Karl Malone? It was like in full Karl Malone blackface.
Yeah, we love you, Carl.
Get up. Yeah, we love Karl Malone. He's a huge supporter of the show. Huge gun guy, Karl Malone.
He's
loves
a good guy.
Guns, man. He has more guns. If you were to go into Karl Malone's, sorry, Mr. Carl, I apologize. If you were to go in Karl Malone's house, it looks like, you ever seen Ace Ventura 2? When he shows up in that room with all the dead animals, he's like, what a lovely room of death. That's Karl Malone's house. He has animals dead everywhere, all over the house. He's a huge hunter. Anyway, Jimmy Kimmel did this. He has one of the biggest late night talk shows in the world right now. But now Sarah Silverman, even though I disagree with Sarah Silverman on virtually everything.
That's right.
Who cares that you did a blackface comedy sketch? It was a comedy sketch. How do you do that? How do you get upset and like fact check or culture check someone with what are you showing me right now?
I drew that with a pencil.
Let me see.
And what is AD?
Sound it out.
Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah. Oh, an ad.
Wow.
I got it.
What a brutally bad way to introduce the
I
fact
figured you'd be
that,
able to read it.
That we have. Well, it says Fredo AD.
I was
trying
to sound it out.
And so I'm saying Fredo.
Oh,
Fredo.
Are we sponsored by Alfredo Noodles now? What are we doing?
Yes.
That is Jake's subtle way of saying that before we get too far along, we have to give credit to our sponsors.
Nice and subtle.
TacPack is the premier monthly subscription box for military, tactical, and Second Amendment enthusiasts. For just $49.95 a month, they ship you at least $100 worth of gear from companies like 5.11, Hexmeg, Mission First Tactical, Armaspect, and America Grip, to name a few. They ship out AR-15 parts, everyday carry tools, knives, cleaning kits, and a mix of other tactical gear and apparel direct to you. Sign up before September 1st to make the deadline for the next pack. Included is an item from Adaptive Tactical that will stock your AR up. Yes, stock is the hint. American-made shooting gear from our friends at OST, survival gear from Survival Frog Company, 5 awesome items for the self-reliant individual. Go to TacPack.com, and when you use the promo code RANT at checkout, they'll ship you an ABKT folding knife absolutely free.
Nice.
So if you're into tactical gear from the best companies for half the price, TacPack is for you. Go to TacPack.com and get the September pack today. TacPack.com, TacPack.com, offer code RANT. And we're back. Okay, after that incredibly awkward intro into a sponsor, let's talk about something that came up just the other day. Illinois is now going to be required to teach LGBTQ history in public schools. I'll just say my thoughts first, and I'd love to go around the table if we can. This is not a hating on the LGBTQ community here, all right? Everybody knows where we stand religiously on it, but politically, hey, you got the freedom to do whatever you want to do, all right? Here's the issue I have. It's offensive to say the Pledge of Allegiance in school. God forbid you have prayer in school, but by God, you're going to teach LGBTQ history to children.
Yeah.
So
no matter what.
Back before, hang on, it was the Illinois governor. It's Pritzker, I think is his name.
Who cares?
Signed a new law. And so they will actually start teaching the curriculum next year.
Yeah.
So they're infiltrating very quickly on this.
Jake, what do you think?
Power is, you know, people want power more than anything else. And if you appease these people, you'll continue to stay in office. You'll continue to get votes. I believe firmly that most of these governors, whatever, do not care and don't even believe in it. But they're like, sure, if that's what keeps me in office, if that's what pleases everybody, whatever.
Yeah.
But, I mean, it's bizarre.
So, Micah, a lot of people will say an issue that they have with Christianity or the church, all right? Let's just talk the church, all right, is they'll say that the church is some of the most judgmental people in the world, which oftentimes that can be true.
Sure.
Does the church hate gay people? I mean, you know, because, and here's my thing. I already know the answer is obviously no, right?
Sure.
You know, Christians don't hate anyone. But can we, as a is it the church's responsibility to actually start speaking up on some of these things? Like, you know what I mean? I mean, does the church have a responsibility to say, hey, we love everybody, but this is what we believe, and this is the truth. And you see what I'm saying?
Yeah, totally. I you know, there's, again, so many things happen within the church. And, yeah, there's judgmental people in every church. And I think that we have to be really careful as a whole, as a people, to stop labeling the church as judgmental and start labeling the people that are in the church judgmental.
Right.
And we can't separate that because people are just good at being people. Like,
we
just got to be allowed to say, hey, you know what? They're going through something, or maybe they're still trying to develop their own faith and their own belief. And I think it comes to a place where it doesn't need to be that the church right now, and it's an institution in a lot of people's minds. It's not a family. It's not a unit of love anymore. It's an institution, and that we're like against anybody that has a different viewpoint or it says this in the Bible. You must hate us. Absolutely not. It actually says God is love. So first approach to you is we have to start with, hey, I can love you, but I don't have to agree with you.
Yeah.
That's right.
Acceptance versus agreeance, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And if we can start there, I can maybe have a conversation with you about your life and about what's going on before I can just jump to, hey, what do you identify? What is your flow in life? No, I want to know you first.
Right. Yeah.
And I think from there, we can start to develop a better conversation on how we can go. But no, I mean, I maybe there's a few people that I think this happens in the world a lot. There's a few people that speak up for a lot of people. So in the church, there may be a few people that are filled with a little bit of rage, a little bit of hatred when it comes to anybody that has a sin or something like that.
Right.
Well, you know, you hate the sin, not the sinner kind of thing. But at the same time, I think we have to not label the entire church as the whole church is against the LGBTQ.
Yeah.
It's not that way.
It's like police
for most people.
Exactly.
Police hate black people. You know?
It's not that.
Love,
well,
man.
And again, I think one of the biggest misconceptions, and I'll take this part, is that a lot of people misconstrue what Christians believe on a fundamental biblical level and misconstrue that as hate. That's not the same. You see what I'm saying? Like, you as a fundamental Bible believing scripture believing Christian, you don't agree with the LGBTQ community and how they choose to live, but that doesn't mean that you hate them. That
well,
doesn't
just
mean
like
that you
with
don't
anything,
accept
though,
them.
Right.
You need relationship. I mean, that's what it all boils down to. You have to have a relationship with someone. You can't just go up to somebody and be like, hey, you're going to hell. Like, oh, when's the last time that worked?
Worming, come
here. Hold a sign.
Exactly. It's a relationship. So it just irritates me in general. But going back to that, I don't think they should be pushing that on the youth, though, because the youth are already confused. Can we just take all of it out? Can we just take all of it out and let the home do that, please?
Yeah. I think there is a direct hypocrisy in this.
Yeah.
It's that it all depends on what the narrative is and what the narrative is trying to push. And unfortunately, we're no longer pushing conservative values. We're no longer pushing religious values. We're pushing whatever the hot topic is of the month or of the week. And that's just another thing. And of course, Illinois is leading the way there. Let's see here. What else is going on? Oh, Okay, here's a funny one. Random stuff. Let's go into some random things here.
Good, because I got some random.
All right, you want to talk about a guy that's on his last straw here, all right? Or you want to talk about entitlement. Here we go. All right, you ready? Man pushes BMW into the river. Why? Because he wanted a Jaguar for his birthday.
Well,
you wow. Ta-
I mean, you're driving a BMW, first of all.
Man,
I mean,
knows what he wants.
Look, man, I respect anybody that knows what he wants. Man. That man knows what he wants. On another thing, let's talk about, we have an update to the Miley Cyrus, Liam Hemsworth breakup.
Thank God.
Are they back together?
Finally, we get some answers. All right. So Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth broke up after less than a year of marriage. All right. Jake's getting emotional over here. Okay. All right. So Miley Cyrus comes out and she gives this whole example of how, you know, you can't stop evolution and change. And I'm standing in this river that used to be a mountain and all this other kind of stuff. A lot of people thought it was, you know, a caveat to her wanting to become a lesbian.
I thought it was satanic. I didn't understand.
I thought it was satanic. I don't know.
A mountain in Africa. What?
All right. So now reports from the Daily Beast, reputable website.
Absolutely.
Is now saying Miley Cyrus and Liam Hemsworth reportedly broke up because Hemsworth couldn't keep up with her hectic social schedule. Not because she was fooling around with another woman behind his back.
Well, oh, that's very specific.
I mean,
isn't but here's the thing. Okay, let's remove it's another woman. All right, she cheated on him. Okay, that's what it boils down to. The thing about that article that bothers me is this cultural thing. I've said it for a long time. We got a huge culture problem. We got a huge heart problem. There is no questioning that Miley Cyrus messed around behind Liam Hemsworth's back. But people and these websites and these things that kids are reading are trying to make it no. Miley's not bad for messing around behind his back. He simply couldn't keep up with her. And so she had to do what's best for her.
So she was driven into the arms of another.
She had to do what's best for her. Do you see what I'm saying?
Poor Miley.
Like that is the cultural change that I'm talking about. And you know, Micah, as the pastor here, I would love, you know, I feel like the sanctity of marriage. Is marriage easy? Yeah. Heck no.
But it is when you're married to me.
Of course it is. Obviously, that came with an asterisk that had my relationship with Alyssa there. No, but what I'm saying is the culture now that we live in is if anything is hard, just leave. And that's a direct contradiction to what the Bible actually tells us, right?
Yeah, I mean, life will be hard. Like, you can't avoid it for anybody, but I think everybody, the moment they hit any resistance, they feel like this must mean I have to go another direction or something like that just because things start to not go my way. Let me go find another way. And I think that's the whole thing is we're not letting God be God anymore. We're becoming our own gods. And when you become your own God, you lead yourself to what you think is right. And just because like, okay, Miley thought it was hard, so I'm going to do what I think is best for me.
Yeah.
And that's exactly what's going on. And we're self-inflicted wounds all over the place. Yeah.
Well,
around.
We're selfish people, right? Like at the end of the day, you can chalk up any marital differences, any adultery, anything in life.
Yeah.
You know, all this stuff about identifying as certain things and genders and all this stuff. You can break it down to the most simplistic of things. It's selfishness. At the end of the day, in my opinion, it's selfishness. You cheat on your spouse because they aren't making you happy in the way that you view you're supposed to be happy. See what I'm saying? That's selfishness.
You know what's sad to me, though, is if you would just push through, I feel like so many people just miss out on, like, the great. Yeah. Like, because it's, like, right around the corner. Like, wow. Like, when me and you had a hard marriage in the middle there. Like, if we hadn't pushed through, we would have missed out. Like, I feel so bad for people because it's like you're missing out if you just stick with it.
No marriage is perfect. And it's the story of the imperfections 50 years down the road that makes it so powerful.
And it probably, marriage is probably getting harder these days because we don't know how to date. Excuse me.
I think getting
back to we're dating wrong and we're probably crossing barriers and lines that we shouldn't be in dating that were meant for marriage. And because now dating doesn't even look like dating anymore, because you can live together, you can you look just like a married couple. So by the time you put a ring on your finger,
nothing
changes. Doesn't mean anything.
That's a good point.
And so now marriage isn't as important. It's not a union anymore. It's just a next step.
That's a good point.
I agree. That's a good one. All right, let's go into some funny things.
Would someone like to have a feel-good story?
All right.
I get to? Thank you, ladies first.
Dadgummit. This is a heavily swayed podcast on the center of no.
This is
going funny first. Go, Jake.
What? So, no, this
speaking of bad singers and celebrities, yes. Katy Perry's in trouble.
Because apparently
on the set of a
she kissed a girl and
music
she liked it?
Video. She de-pantsed a guy.
Oh, yes. I read about that.
All the way and showed everything, and he's suing.
Hashtag me too. Good. Should. Go for that money, bro.
Wait. Wow. Sorry. Back up a little bit. On like not while it was being recorded.
His penis was out.
So it was on set, right?
What?
Of a music video? Yeah, something like that. But it wasn't
Who
on
cares?
Video.
Oh, that's what I meant. Like it was.
But it was in front of people.
Why would she do that?
Because it's funny.
Because it's funny.
It's so funny.
Wow.
That's
Took
horrible.
His pants off, Maybe. Embarrassed the guy.
Hey, look, man.
He's
going to
get
too.
A lot of money.
Go get that money, bro.
Absolutely no consent involved.
May I
in that.
Go now?
I welcome someone as rich as Katy Perry pantsing me so I can go sue and get that money.
Yeah.
Oh, my.
Hashtag knowing me, it'd be Rebecca down the street didn't have $2 to rub together.
Yeah.
Probably.
You know, I'm just saying.
If
oh,
it was
Rebecca.
Me, I wouldn't take the money, but I'd go all the way up until the point to where she thought she was going to have to give me a lot of money. And I'd be like, never mind.
There you go, Jay. Really play the game there.
It's very good of you.
All right.
I would totally take it.
Feel good story, then we got to get into some questions.
Okay,
here's
a feel good story. There's an Aussie simply known as Dean who was preparing to board a flight when apparently the airline informed him that he couldn't bring his beer can with him. I know. This is tragic. Heartbreaking.
Communist.
Dean isn't one to back down in the face of adversity. He did what anyone with steadfast integrity would do. He checked in his solo can of beer and baggage.
But
as anyone knows, just because you fly somewhere, American, doesn't mean your bag will get there. Fortunately, the baggage handler thought this was a riot and really appreciated his efforts. And if you can see, it rolled around on the baggage claim. They checked it with
That's
a tag.
That's amazing.
And he received his beer can
that
at the end of the flight.
Exploded the second he popped it
but
open.
But how funny. Can you imagine just being that one watching like this little
I'm
can
surprised
with
it
a big
bust
tag.
Open in the air because the bottom of the plane isn't pressurized.
I don't know, but I appreciate it.
I'm surprised it didn't break apart.
Fake news.
All right, let's get into, and we've got two or three really deep like political things to talk about. This is a question. And then we're going to get into Hillsong. And we're really going to get into some discussions. And I'm super excited for you guys to listen to this because the ending of this podcast is going to be a bit different. We're really going to dive into culture and religion. And I'm super excited about it. But we've got guns, Terrence Williams, and Fredo being the new N-word to talk about. But first, a word from our sponsors. The Amazon and Capital One data breach just hit. 106 million of us just had our names, home addresses, and banking information exposed. Forget credit card theft. Your far greater risk is home title fraud. Title fraud is rampant because identity thieves figured out the title and mortgage to our homes are kept online. Their big payday comes by forging your name off your home's title so it appears they own your home. Then they borrow all your equity till it's gone. Forget your insurance, bank, or identity theft program. They don't touch this. Home Title Lock does. And they do it by locking down your home's online title and mortgage. The first 60 days after crimes like Amazon server, Capital One breach are crucial. So I got you 60 risk-free days of Home Title Lock protection. Claim your 60 risk-free days of protection at HomeTitleLock.com and enter your home address to see if you're already a victim. That's HomeTitleLock.com, HomeTitleLock.com. All right, so let's really get into this, and this is going to be a twofer question. So we're going to take a question that was for us and also a question that was for Micah in the same thing. All right, so for the whole table. How do you feel about the change in stance on gun laws by Republicans? Very good question. I'm glad that you asked. They're talking about red flag laws is what they're talking about. Alyssa gave me the kind of
The I'm in trouble.
The deep stare. All right. So it started with Dan Crenshaw, then the president, and now Rick Scott down in Florida, and even Lindsey Graham have all started saying, well, you know, maybe red flag laws isn't really that bad of an idea. So I'm just going to say it right now. I'll start it off the table. Shall not be infringed was written for a reason. The founding fathers are smarter than any of these people today because they knew they came from a place where you can't trust the government, right? Perspective is everything. People came over from British rule. Why? Because they couldn't do what they wanted to do. And British rule made it to where you can't do that because we don't want you to do it. So they put together the Constitution, our rights as Americans to say, this is what we think is vital. So that can't happen again. When it comes down to red flag laws, hashtag 2A for life, baby. Shall not be infringed. And you have to ask yourself, are red flag laws constitutional? The simple answer is no. If it goes all the way to the Supreme Court's supposed to interpret the Constitution as written. A lot of people could use this in the Bible way, interpret the Bible as written, but that's another conversation for another moment. It's never going to pass Supreme Court because if you look at it straight up, the Second Amendment does not support red flag laws. Jake. Thoughts.
I'm so torn on this.
When somebody
like Dan Crenshaw, you know, the way he explained it really
it was good
was clarity for me because we do say as Republicans it's the person, not the gun. So if there's any steps we can take to kind of work towards something that's not infringing on people's rights, but that is flagging people that should be flagged, people who are dangerous to society. When we were up in Indianapolis for the NRA thing, there was a group of crazy people surrounding the building, flying planes over, cussing people out as they walked in, and they were red flag people. They were the first people that I came into contact with that was against this, you know, whole thing. And I get it, and I don't want the wrong people getting elected and making laws that takes it away from Trump supporters or from Republicans or whatever. But I think there is there is a little bit of leeway that we can at least work across the aisle and say, how can we, within the law, help curb this a little bit? The guy in Gilroy, California,
yeah,
he avoided every law California has. He got the gun out of state. He was under 21. So gun laws did nothing to stop that. So I get that it may not stop anything. It may be infringing on rights.
The president inadvertently yesterday, and this is a precursor to what we're going to talk about with Chris Cuomo in a minute, but he said, we're going to talk about the video of Chris Cuomo just going absolutely ballistic on this guy.
Mm-hmm.
And the president tweeted, would Chris Cuomo be given a red flag for his recent rant? Filthy language and a total loss of control. He shouldn't be allowed to have any weapon. He's nuts. So the president just tweeted what most people's main concern is about red flag laws. You lose your crap, threaten people and all this other kind of stuff. The loopholes that people are worried about is saying, well, how do you protect wording of red flag laws to keep that kind of stuff from happening? And the simple answer is you can't.
And see, that's where I stand too. I'm kind of with Jake. I wish in an idealistic world we could come together and figure this out. But it's scary because you're right. You could get one counselor, you know, who heavily is pushed or something of that nature. Sorry, my phone's going off.
You said scary, and Siri was like, yes.
I know, I'm sorry. No.
Talking about red flag laws, and Siri just went off.
Siri's listening.
But you are worried about, you know, people abusing that. If and then that becomes a major problem because instead now I can accuse you of just being crazy and you don't you need your gun taken
away. Red flag laws in itself is a belief of a utopian society. And what I mean by that is they're believing that people are so good and just that they would never abuse that law against people. If men were angels, we wouldn't be having this conversation. Micah, you are not off the hook. Now we're going into a you question off the same thing. So in that same vein, would Jesus have owned a gun?
Oh,
we talked about that.
Yeah, would Jesus have owned a gun?
Who wrote that?
Do you want me to go first, or do you want to go
first? I would love to hear your thoughts.
Okay, all right. So I am stealing Nadine's sentiment that
she's
in.
Thanks, Nadine.
Okay.
Right? Actually, me and Nadine had this conversation So this technically was a question that was written
This has come up. Well, no, that was today.
Oh, another one too?
I mean, can we honestly say he probably didn't need one?
Well, yeah
that's so true.
Jesus probably didn't need one. Okay, all right. First of all, Nadine put it in a really good context. Jesus, I don't know that answer, but I sure do know that he surrounded himself with a bunch of people that carried the equivalents back in the day, knives, swords, all that other kind of stuff. Peter cut off a dude's ear.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I say it like this. Jesus, in my opinion, what if somebody wanted to try to hurt Jesus's mama back in the day? Can you honestly say that Jesus wouldn't defend his mother to the absolute best of his abilities kind of thing? You see what I'm saying? Like, Alyssa's looking at me like I'm crazy. What if a situation occurred? Does the Bible say that we're not allowed to defend ourselves? Does the Bible say that we're not allowed to protect ourselves by any means necessary? I don't remember reading that in there anywhere. Maybe I'm crazy.
Well, it is kind of, I mean, it's a gray area. I mean, you can't say.
It's a gray area?
Well, you can't say, yes,
they didn't have guns back then.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You can't say, yes, I know Jesus would have had a gun. Well, I mean, that's crazy. But if you put it in context, he surrounded himself with people who did have protection while he was going through the crowds.
You can have your Jesus. My Jesus has a gun.
He had all these, performed all these miracles, you know. He could probably convince the guy with, you know, without having to kill him. Just like. Hey, dude.
Well, they're really saying, Micah, and this is what I'm pitching to you here, is they're not really asking the question, would Jesus have had a gun? What they're really asking is, does Jesus support guns? That's what they're really asking. Everyone knows that Jesus didn't have a gun because he didn't have guns back then. And everybody knows that Jesus is Son of God, probably doesn't need a gun. Dude can walk on water.
Okay? A gun's Christian.
What they're asking is, does Jesus support guns? And I think that biblically and through scripture, there's nothing in the Bible that says you are not allowed to defend yourself and protect you and your family. Micah, I just love your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it's tricky. Because, you know, it's one of those, to me, an argument that can provide a slippery slope, because then you go down an argument and all of a sudden you're in this argument of political and theology all in one. And you have to choose a side at that point.
Mm-hmm.
Do I look at this politically or biblically? Because honestly, biblically, there is not like a clear indication. Like here, you can defend yourself, but it also says turn the other cheek. But then to what extent do you turn the other cheek if somebody breaks into your house? I'm not going to turn the other cheek. So it's kind of like this whole... How far? So there are, it is known in the Bible that there
all
are
cheeks
areas.
Have been turned if you break into my house. I have turned all cheeks immediately from you entering in my house.
Right? Yeah. So
it's just
so
a really loaded question.
Yeah.
And that's where it is a divide a little bit. It's like that middle ground of, okay, can you come to a biblical answer? Are guns Christian? No, you probably can't get to that place biblically. Mm-hmm. But what is biblical is to follow the laws of the land. That is biblical.
See there? Mm-hmm. That's why the pastor is on the show.
Well done.
At the end of the day, if you had to pick something to put it on, the Bible says obey the laws
of
the
land. But you also have to go with...
Laws of the land say you can defend yourself with a gun.
Well, it's also a matter of the heart, too. I mean, you can't... Sure. Each person who owns a gun isn't like this great... You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of an individual decision almost, too. It's... I don't know. It's a loaded question.
Speaking of defending yourself... All right. Our good friend Terrence Williams is in
some serious trouble.
Now, Micah, I don't know if you know who Terrence is.
Oh, actually, I sent Lindsay Terrence's video.
Oh, that's right. You
of
have
the,
seen some
the
of
toilet
stuff,
paper.
Right?
If you haven't seen it, you should go watch it.
He's like the Kevin Hart for conservatives.
Yeah, I believe I know who he is. I haven't seen
Lindsay, you're in trouble.
I haven't seen the video.
Okay. All right. So Terrence made a video about the Jeffrey Epstein murder, suicide. Anyway, and so the president retweeted it. And what's so crazy and ridiculous to me, this is why I'm pro-gun right here for this reason in and of itself. Because he was shared on the president's page, Terrence is a black man. All right. He's a black guy. He's black conservative. People are just coming over left and right, threatening him, hoping he dies, saying they're going to kill him, all this other kind of stuff, simply because the president retweeted
what he did.
I think it is just horrifically sad that we live in a society to where if we disagree politically on something, and you got to think, were people really upset that he was talking about the fact that a sex ringed habitual pedophile abuser is dead? No. They're upset because he said he thinks the Clinton has had something to do with it.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's political difference at the end of the day. And so we're threatening to murder people. But based off political differences,
I feel
differences
like though, that's
now?
Become the norm. I mean, we get threats. Everyone I know, even both sides, unfortunately, yeah. just well, get, and it's not okay.
It's a personal point of privilege, first of all.
He, him, Jake
he
Stone.
Him. He, him, she Jake her. Stone. He, him. First, we want to say we love the Clintons and would never
yeah,
accuse
absolutely.
Them.
Absolutely. That is so
we
true.
We would never say anything bad.
Nothing is wrong with
but,
you.
Terrence is one of those people who is like the mortal enemy of the left. If you are a conservative black person, you are the most dangerous person to their base.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Brandon Tatum, David Harris Jr., people like that really start taking that black vote and making them think like, oh, maybe the left is full of crap and we haven't got anything from them.
Yeah.
You know? And when the president brings you up, yeah, it's time
you're
gonna
to get some.
Yeah,
because
why else would they threaten his life? You
yeah.
know? You like Jeffrey
sad.
Epstein?
Lissa, what do you think?
I thought I already said what I thought. I think it's
oh,
just sad.
Oh, I was
going
to give you a moment to.
Oh, no.
Oh, okay.
Alyssa says
sorry.
Sad.
Alyssa I think it's sad that we're
Alyssa's
in a culture.
Alyssa's going with sad for 500.
I am. Well, I just think it's sad we live in a culture that supports that, and then people actually defend. No, you're right. I mean, yeah. I just think it's sad.
Well, he's a white supremacist.
Yeah, well,
Terrence.
Yeah.
Naturally.
Black white supremacist. Yeah. Anyway, Micah, to me, it would be, to put it in context of your world, it would be like, I don't know. It would be
you
talking to a group of Muslims saying that Jesus is the one true God, period. Mm-hmm. And then they say, well, we're killing you for that. You see what I mean? Like, you deserve to die for saying something.
Oh, totally. Right now, there is no grace for the middle ground.
Yeah.
There is none. It's been erased.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
agree to disagree is gone.
It's totally gone. So if you disagree, you're in danger to a certain extent of either, you know, an opinion being thrown at you, or especially in this social media age, you know, anybody could say anything about you. You want to throw one tweet on, you know, out there that has a lean to it. Yes, you can get threatened now and you can get talked about. So we do live in a very divisive culture.
Yeah.
And I think that's what's so painful for me as a pastor who is trying to unify a body, because the church is not a like, when you come together, when people come together, there are all kinds of, I don't know, if you, a lot of people who go to church, maybe listen to this podcast, you got to realize there's a lot of different beliefs in the seats and the rows around you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
They don't all believe the same just as you. However, what's so beautiful about the church is at least when it's done right, they can show up and put those in the back pocket.
Yeah.
Because it's now about something else. And let's start with that. Let's agree on that. Now, I do know when we start to disagree, we don't know how to disagree anymore.
Yeah. Heaven is not going to look like one group of people with the same skin color, go to the same church, believe every single thing the exact same way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
At the basis of it, heaven is you believe in one thing the same way. You believe that Jesus, or God sent his son Jesus to die for us, so we have everlasting life with him. But in my opinion, Americans could use some of that, right?
But I think
as Americans, we don't believe everything the same way. We don't look the same. We don't sound the same. But we believe the one ideal that is e pluribus unum, out of many, one.
Yeah.
We are Americans, and we've seemed to have just lost that.
Yeah. And you used to be able to disagree with your neighbor and about politics. And but the left is a identity politics party.
Yeah.
They are about conformity. And they're also about racism. If they take certain groups of races and give them certain things, and they say the other one is bad because of privilege and all that, you know?
Let's talk about racism for a minute. That leads us into Chris Cuomo. Chris Cuomo is in the news. Michael, have you heard anything about this, or are we going to catch you up?
I have not.
Okay, all right. Chris Cuomo is a CNN star. It's really like Anderson Cooper. In my opinion, if you had to rank them, it'd probably be Anderson Cooper, Chris Cuomo, Don Lemon, or Don Lemon, whatever his name is.
I like Lemon.
Who is under sexual assault allegations now, by the way.
Yeah.
Either way, so Chris Cuomo, there's been this name that's been floating around with Chris Cuomo, and it's Fredo. So people have been calling Chris Cuomo Fredo. So for those of you who don't know,
you may as well just said the N-word right there.
We're getting to that. So Fredo is basically the dumb brother in The Godfather.
I haven't seen The Godfather. Oh, gosh.
We're going to edit that out.
Well, that is getting cut straight out of.
Ladies and gentlemen, we really apologize for the explicit language that you just heard.
Anyway, all right. So Fredo is the dumb brother character in The Godfather. So basically, people have been telling Cuomo he's like the dumb brother on CNN. So there's this video.
Because he looks like him? I'm sorry. I just don't understand.
No, just because he's an Italian. Idiot. Anyway. All right. He's dumb. That's why
people are
saying
it. He's dumb and Italian?
No. Yes, he's dumb and Italian. That's why they're saying it.
All right. Got it.
Okay. So a video is out. It's gone viral all over the place. Basically, this dude legitimately thought his name was Chris Fredo Cuomo. So the dude, I don't know. Maybe
I think he was playing stupid.
Maybe he was playing stupid.
I don't think he actually
but
thought
either
that,
either way, in a bar, he comes up to Fredo, He comes up to Chris Cuomo. It just rolls off the tongue. And Chris Cuomo loses his freaking mind, basically telling him he's fixing to throw him downstairs. He's fixing to, a bunch of explicit language. He's fixing to just tear this dude up. So in defense of his actions, of course, conservatives are, freaking out. And then some conservatives are like, what's the big deal? But CNN, of course, is defending Chris Cuomo now, saying he had every right to do so because Fredo is the N-word to Italians. What?
False.
You're telling me that the name of a movie character equates to a name that was used to dehumanize an entire race that was put into slavery and murdered at random for hundreds of years? Really? Fredo is the N-word? I think that's racist. Yeah. To be honest with you.
Yeah, but all they have to do, everything is. That's what's so annoying. You could hurt me and all I have to do is say you're racist and then everybody gets behind me. Like, what are we doing?
And YouTube instantly blocked the uploader that's the point with Brandon. He uploaded that video and YouTube took it down quick. And then Donald Trump Don Jr. comes out with that tweet of the CNN or MSNBC where they called him Fredo.
Oh, yeah. It's okay to call Don Jr. Fredo.
So then YouTube's like,
it's not racist then.
Never mind. And they made it
public. How about
again.
We just say, you should never threaten or fight or do anything, and we all get behind that.
you see,
why is this so hard? There's a moral
when it comes out. Let them fight, man. Let them fight. Remember when people had bar fights back in the day, and it was over in like 5 minutes? And
but it wouldn't
was
be over.
Done.
That's the thing.
But
it wouldn't
that's
be.
What I'm talking about. The problem is two dudes drinking in a bar can't have any kind of scuffle of any kind without it being mainstream news and racist and confrontation. So what if it's confrontation? People fight in a bar all the time.
Which you shouldn't. Yeah.
All the time, which I'm not saying it's a good thing.
No, it's not.
But what I'm saying is people have been fighting in a bar since the formation
thousands
of bars.
Years.
Okay,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like people have been fighting for forever. Just shut up. Yeah. Let them do what they got to do. Nobody even touched each other. It was words. They literally were saying words back and forth.
Fighting with
and
their words.
And now CNN is trying to spin it to where this dude's racist by creating a racist word that is not there.
Yeah.
Anyway, that's my thought on Cuomo. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about someone sent a question in. It said, I'm going to do my best not to demean the question, but here we go. Would people change their minds if they realized most veterans, vets, like an animal vet. Okay, sorry. Oh. All right. I read vets. Okay.
They were a veteran?
I was like, vets do
mind
abort. Okay, all right. Would people change their minds if they realized most vets do abortions on animals?
Wait, what?
Why do they do them?
Would people change their mind about abortion being bad if they realized that most vets do abortions on animals?
Why do the veterans do the abortions?
Because it's not veterans.
A veterinarian. Why do the veterinarians?
Dear America podcast says veterans do abortions.
That's going to be the thing.
Like, probably because the well-being of the animal, not because the dog's like, I
want
to be.
No, some people don't want the puppies. Their dog runs around, gets pregnant. They don't want the puppies. So I will say because dogs aren't people. They don't have souls,
Yeah, you can put them down and you don't talk that language with people.
Yeah.
Right.
It's like,
true.
Old Steve ain't performing like he used to. Yeah. It's time to go
his
put him
bad.
Down.
It's time.
We'll bury him in the backyard real quick. No, I, wow, that's...
That's a weird line of thinking.
No, next question.
No, people. No, there are some people that believe that animals are on the same level as people.
Species.
Yeah, and that's just, that's not true.
I guess that's their belief, I guess. I mean, I don't think they have a soul, but, you know.
You know, dogs weren't made in God's image. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's just.
And the dog's not going to live with, like, depression for the rest of his life, you know? Like,
I don't know. My dog has anxiety.
The dog is not confused that it's a dog. At the end of the, you know what I mean? Like, yeah. And even if it is, it's a dog.
Probably doesn't even know it's pregnant.
Yeah. It does.
Oh, my God.
I mean, seriously.
I don't know, man. Like, yeah, okay. To not Crazy. Demean the question.
I think it's too late for that.
Wow, Jake. We've hit that. I just want to say Jake demeaned the question. I'm actually trying to answer it.
I was part
it.
Of it for sure.
I am firm anti-abortion. Period. I don't care if it's a rape reason or whatever. I'm anti-abortion. Is it a terrible thing? Yes. Is it horrible when it's hard to talk about? Yes. But if you put a sonogram up, show me which one's the rape baby at the end of the day. Animals are not people. They are not on the same spectrum as people. They are not due the same rights, freedom, or privileges of people because they're not people.
Yeah.
So, no, I don't think it would change people's minds on abortion.
You can make the same argument about guns. Like, guns killing people. It's like, well, animals definitely kill each other. Does that make the argument for having guns?
I think throwing a bone to them, I think why they ask the question is probably they see so many people like so passionate about their animal and not about even what's happening in the world right now.
Yeah.
And so maybe there's an angle where they're standard. Like, yeah, like, hey, look, in the arms of an angel, Sarah McLachlan singing over.
Oh man, that's such a, God, I was pregnant when that came out.
Right?
Oh, it's rough.
For only $20 a month.
All right. So speaking of that, let's dive into the part of this episode that I'm super excited about. And that's to dive into some religious and spiritual aspects of this show. It is not unknown that we are, me and Alyssa and obviously Micah, are firm Christians in what we believe. Am I the best Christian all the time? No. Anyway, but here recently, Hillsong, which is arguably the largest worship band in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. 50 million people sing their songs every weekend.
50
million people. Every weekend.
I mean, I love their songs.
So popular Hillsong songwriter Marty Sampson walks away from the Christian faith. Now, I'm going to read like his letter that he sent. And it's really small, so I'm going to do my best to read it here. And then I really want to kind of dive in and talk about some of this stuff here. And that's why Micah is here. And so here we go. All right. So this is what he said in his post. Time for some real talk. I'm genuinely losing my faith and it doesn't bother me. Like what bothers me now is nothing. I am so happy now. So at peace with the world. It's crazy. This is a soapbox moment. So here I go. How many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. How many miracles happen? Not many. No one talks about it. Why is the Bible full of contradictions? No one talks about it. How can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe? No one talks about it. Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet.
True.
They can also be some of the most beautiful and loving people, but it's not for me. I am not in anymore. I want genuine truth, not the I just believe it kind of truth. Science keeps piercing the truth of religion. Lots of things help people change their lives, not just one version of God. Got so much more to say, but for me, I'm keeping it real. Unfollow if you want. I've never been about living my life for others. All I know is what's true to me right now, and Christianity just seems to mean like another religion at this point. I could go on, but I won't. Love and forgive, absolutely. Be kind, absolutely. Be generous and do good to others, absolutely. Some things are good. Okay? Some things are good no matter what. Okay, that's what it says. All right, so first of all, If we're gonna dissect this, let's dissect it honestly. Okay,
yeah.
Let's take the very end of that. For me, initial things that pop out. He says, "Love and forgive, absolutely. Be kind, absolutely. Be generous and do good to others, absolutely. Some things are good no matter what." That's blatant Christianity and biblical reasonings. So at the end of this, he says he doesn't believe in Christianity anymore, yet those virtues and values are straight up biblical teachings. We as people are selfish individuals. We are born selfish from the very beginning. It is not normal and natural to want to just give your money away to people. It is not normal and natural to think about others before yourself. Those are not natural things.
Well, a lot of
those are taught things.
True, but a lot of non-Christians, I mean, I have a lot of friends, have those traits. They just don't see them as traits of God. They're just good people. So, I mean, I get it. We know those are traits of God. Does that make sense?
All right. Michael, your thoughts on that, and then let's break out the first part, and then we'll really break this down.
And he actually even provided a late, maybe even yesterday, a latest update that he's like, I haven't fully denounced. I'm just on that road. He called it shaky foundation is what he's on. Hmm. And you know, one, if I could take it from this angle, I'm actually glad he's asking questions.
Yeah.
Because I don't want even Christianity as a whole to start to look like we have to tell you what you're supposed to believe. Yeah, and true. That's only
this
how
is
this
not
is.
An attack on Marty Sampson.
No.
This is to have an open conversation to other Christians and people that may have questions.
I think we can learn from that, though. Yeah. You know, he went to Instagram. I think it's the language of our day. I mean, 3 weeks ago, there's another Christian author that just did this as well.
Yeah.
Renounced his faith. So for some reason, it's becoming maybe a thing. Hopefully, it's not going to be a thing where our Christian leaders are going to start doing this. However, okay, asking the questions part. But the other part is, there's a lot in there that's, okay, man, who have you surrounded yourself with the last maybe, I don't know, a couple years, because I do know, you know, whether, you know, you guys that are listening like Hillsong or not, you know, I've been able to go there, meet a lot of the people and the leaders there, and I've seen nothing but genuine. And he actually said in his follow-up, his follow-up letter, he said Hillsong has some of the best Pentecostal doctrine that he's seen. So it's like he's not actually bashing Hillsong. He's actually on this journey on himself. So first off, I think we have to extract it, because I think a lot of people are like, this is my chance to get after an organization called Hillsong because I knew I didn't like them.
Right. Yes.
And it's like, well, no, this is another individual. And there you go, trying to group everything together again.
Yeah.
And let's just talk about him. Now, the post itself and some of the things that I think that bothered me when he said, and we don't talk about it. And we don't talk about it.
Yeah. So,
and
we don't said, let's tackle those kind of individually.
Because we do talk about it.
So here's one. All right. And
but
this
we're supposed
is good.
To talk about it.
In this, he kind of identifies some of the biggest questions that people have about Christianity that aren't Christians, right? So how many preachers fall? Many. No one talks about it. So let's expand it a little bit.
Yeah.
How many Christians are perfect? Not many. Nobody talks about it. So let's talk about it a little
bit.
Totally. You know, Micah, you're the guest and you're also the pastor here.
Micah take it.
So we'll let you go first, and then I'd love to open it to the table a little bit.
Sure.
Are Christians perfect?
Easy answer. Absolutely. No.
Absolutely. I'm amazing.
No, not at all. And I think one of the bigger mistakes that we do is we look at Christian leaders and a pastor like myself, and for some reason we're placed on a pedestal when we have the same flesh and blood as everybody else. We've just been called to do something a little bit different, which is a little bit crazy, because for so many years I didn't want to start a church, plant a church, but here I am pastoring, and obviously love every second of it. But at the same time, you have to understand what you're getting into, and it's a crazy world. And I think for him, I think a lot of people elevated in their minds who he was. And he's this big, he's a Hillsong worship leader, he's a songwriter, and he automatically became, and I understand there's this movement right now of very influential Christians, and some people call them celebrity pastors, celebrity worship leaders, and everything like that. Maybe a little bit dangerous. Because I don't know if we're ever supposed to go down that road of calling anybody that or looking at another worship leader as if you know, so you, and you can obviously honor people, but I think what happened with him is, okay, we're looking at him and we start to bring him up in our mind, and all of a sudden he has this, well, nobody talks about when pastors fall. Oh my, like
everybody talks about it when pastors
if
fall.
If anything,
actually.
It becomes news.
And
you know, I came, my dad was at one of, over the last 30 years, we were in the heart of probably what would be considered the biggest pastor to ever fall, at least in our generation. And I was too young to really know what was going on. My dad lost his job in the middle of all of it. It was on CNN, Fox. My dad, who was his youth pastor, was getting called by Geraldo to, you know, back in the day.
When Oh, wow.
Remember that name? Yeah. To go on his show. And I'm sitting here like, and my dad, he'll tell me the stories because he's a pastor too. He had to move three times, our entire family, because the pastors he served under fell. And every single one of them made some kind of news. And I'm like, okay. They talk about it in the global sense, but if you're even saying let's talk about it personally, why it happens, it's because we're human,
yeah.
And some pastors have no accountability,
yep.
And they don't put anybody over.
And I think that
every pastor needs a pastor.
Thank you. I think that was one of my biggest pet peeves because we've been in a lot of churches, and it's like they start to believe and get honestly a big ego. And then it's like, well, wait a minute. Like I don't know. That's a pet peeve of mine too. Like,
no.
But it's our fault because a lot of the congregation does put you like on this pedestal that you have to be perfect.
Yeah.
So I can, you know, learn from, yeah. It's
Jake,
a mess.
Jake, you have any thoughts?
Yeah. So, you know, I went to this church in Jackson, Mississippi, and it was the same thing. Everybody kind of idolized this guy, yeah. This preacher. And I talked to him afterwards and pretty normal guy, you know,
yeah.
Flesh and bone, just like the rest of us. So I do think, like, Michael, what you were saying, you know, this guy was looked at as this mega star, you know, how could he change his mind, you know? And I don't know. I think it's natural to have questions like that, and he shouldn't be demonized for it.
I agree.
And
he probably had a lot of pressure to be and perform at this. Yeah.
Right,
level.
And it's good that Christianity's accepting enough religion. I know of another one that would kill you for denouncing your faith.
Yeah.
So,
Stephen Furtick, actually, speaking of mega pastors, Stephen Furtick had a video come out just two or three days ago, which I think kind of complements what you were saying, Micah, is that we put people in the church or people that claim to be Christians, like you said, at a pedestal. And then, unfortunately, what ends up happening is you got a lot of Christians that are like, well, you ain't got Jesus like I got Jesus, so I can't be associated with you because you'll help me backslide, and I can't be a part of that kind of thing, right?
Yeah.
So that's what happened. But Stephen Furtick said it best. He goes, every single person in this room, myself included, every single person in the world, no matter how Christian you claim to be, if life had happened just a minuscule bit different, your whole life would have turned out a whole lot different.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Every single person in here that was in college, 99% of you, if the cop had pulled you over at the right time, it could have turned out a whole lot
That's
different.
That's so true.
Right? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? if you know, so don't come at me talking about how holy you are. Let's look at your search history. Let's look at your text messages. Let's look at every person that you downed when you knew you should have lifted them up. Every single person in here, if God had not played a role in your life could have turned out a whole lot different. So go ahead, Jake. And
I wouldn't worry. Like, I think some people might be concerned that since he did this, it might start like changing minds of other people. I don't think if you're a good Christian, you should be swayed like that.
Exactly.
Like someone you know becomes a different religion or denounces their faith. It's like, oh, now I don't believe in God. It's like, whoa.
Your
best way that you can push him away is by jumping in the comment section and killing him for what he's doing.
Yeah. Yes, agreed.
Exactly.
And then he's just going to be like, well, I told you.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So this is actually a really good question. And again, this is not to attack this guy. This is simply to address some of these things in an open forum that he is claiming in this post doesn't get talked about a lot. So we're going to use this platform to talk about some of this stuff. All right. And I know that this is a question that a lot of non-Christians or people that are searching for have to offer. And it basically falls into the bad things happen to good people stuff, right? So how can God be love yet send 4 billion people to a place all because they don't believe?
Yeah.
And why do bad things happen to good people? So, Micah, take that bombshell of a
question.
Yeah, go
ahead, Micah.
Well, on this light note, let me know.
on this extremely simple question.
And it, that, you know, and he says nobody talks about it. It's because we're wrestling with it.
Yeah.
And if we as believers can actually get, whoever, you know, identifies as that, can actually get to a place where we can admit that we don't know all the answers.
Yeah.
So true.
And even a scripture I read in 1 Corinthians this morning, it says knowledge is whatever. It makes you look a certain way, but love is the real answer. So it's like, okay, getting to a place where it's like, stop trying to think you know it all, mm-hmm. because you just show people that you don't know really anything. And I think this is one of those questions where Christians try to answer like they know exactly what God's thinking and how he functions. I think biblically and theologically, we can attack that from a stance of saying, okay, how can a loving God send? He doesn't send. I think the whole entire thing is that he sent Jesus.
Yeah.
So he doesn't send people to hell.
Yeah.
So Jesus is now.
He sent the lifeboat out for you to jump on.
Yeah. And so now it became a choice because we are not robots. We are not serving right. yeah. a dictator in heaven who is forcing us to say and do and move like he wants us only to do. It is a relationship. It's a living relationship with Jesus. Now, that's a question that is massive and it's big. And we oftentimes have to go right back to, well, I believe the Bible is the inherent word of God. So, okay, I go back to the Bible. And there are things that where answers and logic do not connect dots, yeah. faith enters.
Yeah. That's right.
That's mm-hmm. why we have the word. And a lot of people miss that. I'm like, no, that's why there's faith there. It's because maybe, you know, and I know there are some, like the case for Christ is brilliant because it was an atheist who went on a journey and studied scientifically and ended up as a Christian because yep. he said, I can't deny it. Yep. Not everybody's going to have that journey though.
Yeah.
Some people are going to have to believe before they understand. Mm-hmm. And this is one of those where it's like, okay, he's given people, me and you, the choice. On this earth, how are we going to live our life? He's given us Jesus, and now, you know, we're living in, obviously, in a crazy world, and it's getting a little bit more difficult to see what's real yeah. and what's yeah. true, because mm-hmm. there's options on the table now,
yeah.
and there's a lot of religions on the table now, and what's real, what's not? You can look into that, and that's a different conversation, but I think the whole heaven and hell conversation is a big one, and at the same time, it comes down to, and I've heard it said, people send themselves, God doesn't send them.
Yeah.
yeah. yeah.
I think a lot of people are like amateur philosophers too and think they have all these deep, like, why would he do this? It's yeah. like, well, you didn't create the universe. Like, maybe yeah. those yeah. questions are deeper than your comprehension.
And you just you touched know? On a very biblical and scriptural thing. I believe it was Job he was talking to, because Job went through all the trials and yeah. things like that. Yeah. And then yeah. finally he threw his hands up and said, God, why are you doing this to me?
Sure. Yeah.
And then God says, do you know the amount of stars in the sky? Do you know yeah. how many grains of sand are on the beach? You are not capable of understanding
right.
and I think,
everything.
I think
I
that,
mean, he writes it down in the book. You're yeah. not capable of understanding everything.
And I think that's, I grapple with that when I lost two people I was very close to back to back. And I had really not encountered really true like grief or heartache or anything like that. And so I did the same thing. Why do good things happen to bad people?
Sure.
And I had to grapple with that. And it's hard because it takes the power out of your hands. Like yeah. you have to actually have that faith and
it's
let
the
go.
Faith element,
Micah,
yeah.
do you think that the answer to that question ranges in the realm of there are rules? I mean, at the end of the day, the Bible, Christianity, there are rules that you have to believe. I mean, the Bible is very specific. You have to accept God as the one true God. You have to accept him into your heart. You have to, I mean, you know,
yeah, sure.
there are rules.
Yeah.
And the Bible is very, that's why the Great Commission exists, right? Because it's our job as Christians and believers to go out and reach the other people that aren't believers, because yeah. if we don't, that is the fate that, yeah. that waits them. To me, it seems like Christians now are wanting to not have to just, that's what they struggle with the most. So yeah. you're telling me if I don't follow the rules,
yeah.
that a person's going to go to hell? Well, that's what the Bible says.
Yeah, and I think some people may see.
I mean, correct
it,
me if I'm wrong, please. I, you
know, no, just, I think it's more like we're using hell as a fear tactic.
Yeah,
yeah.
Instead of trying to reveal God's goodness through yeah. Jesus. And I think if we can unveil Jesus, we'll start to see that the reality of hell is there. And instead of, because I think so many times we attack that question from, well, just tell me now, is hell real? Because I don't want to go there. It's like, okay, wait, we can't go anywhere now.
Yeah.
Now we're stuck.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about reason why I even wrote this book. Let me tell you about love first.
Yeah.
Let me tell you about how it says in the Bible that nothing can separate you from his love, that God sent his only son because he so loved you. Let's start there. And so you can understand first the reason why we're even talking about heaven or hell in the first place is because you have somebody that is constantly with you and is for you, not against you. And now we talk about hell, like, I don't want to go there. And nobody actually, you know, was, oh, I wish I could go to hell. Usually people that say that don't believe in it. But there has to be a place where it's like, can we start seeing God's goodness, taste and see that the Lord is good first?
Yeah.
And then now let's talk about the eternal soul. What happens after that, which is the heaven and hell conversation. It's a big one.
Yeah.
And it's a tough one, but it is a real biblical conversation.
Let's take one more big bombshell that he drops on here that I also believe is one of the biggest reasons that Christians don't believe in Jesus or they're not Christians. One of the main things that you hear all the time is, well, the reason that I don't go to church is because of people that go to church.
Sure.
Right? I mean, that's one of the things that you hear all the time. And so he says Christians can be the most judgmental people on the planet.
So true.
And I know that we're long on this one, but I believe this is important. So we're definitely going to cover this one really quick. I mean, one of the biggest videos I've ever done was about a Christian woman judging my tattoos. And so, I mean, that is very true. Like, people struggle with that. And that's a question that they struggle with all the time. I come from a church background to where I was let down greatly by the church, the people that run the church. And it rocked me spiritually and foundationally for many, many years, decade and a half even. You know, I hated God for it because I viewed God in what other Christians had shown me, judgmental, works-driven type thing. Like, oh, you didn't do this the right way, so obviously you're not blah, 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 blah. From a pastor's perspective, what would you say to someone that believes that? Well, Christians are the most judgmental people in the world.
I wouldn't tell them they're wrong right away.
Yeah.
Because I think if you can hear my heart in this, I'm a pastor, but I also want to let Christians know and non-Christians know, like, look, we got to put ourselves on the trial sometimes and stop putting other people on trial all the time. And I think that's where it starts. Is like the entire Bible is like, worry about the speck in your eye instead of somebody, or, you know, the plank in your eye instead of the speck in somebody else's eye. And you're like, okay, if we could actually take that to heart, we could start to look at ourselves.
Yeah.
And if we could, maybe the judgment would decrease. But I think people are taking scripture and they're interpreting it through their life and how they were raised and their shortcomings and their insufficiencies and outcomes, a skewed view of the Bible and what God is. And now they go to a church and they have a certain belief that they're firm and they stand in that belief. And if something happens that even remotely touches that wound or that belief system that they have, they're going to talk about you, they're going to leave the church, and they're going to set everything on fire. And I'm like, okay, why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Like, why do we have to jump to that right away and be so judgmental? And Christians are judgmental, but I do know the other end, there's a lot of Christians that are starting to understand what grace is.
That's right.
And I think that's the big equalizers, like, okay, if you're judgmental, maybe you're not seeing that the same grace that God gave you, you're supposed to give other people. And maybe we're not understanding this whole forgiveness thing right now.
Yeah.
Like, it's time to start forgiving, because if you live unforgiven, you will keep walking judgmental and trying to cut people down to make yourself feel better. And really, I found that judgmental people at the end of the day are in an internal battle with themselves.
Yep.
And they're trying to hide something that they don't want to reveal.
Yeah.
And they're trying to talk about somebody else because they don't want anybody else to see what's wrong with them.
Yep.
And this is where we all start. If we could just get honest with ourselves, maybe the judgment percentage could decrease. However, I'm talking to even the people that want to go to church, but judgmental people are now stopping them. Don't let a human stop you, because judgmental people are in every field.
Yeah.
And we were made for community.
Totally.
So it's important. And my favorite saying, I have to tell you, is, and I've lived by it for like several years now, is, you ain't the Holy Spirit, so stop acting like it. It's not your job to convict anybody else. He's pretty good at that on his own.
Jake, what do you think, man? I mean,
I think we are, like you said, community creatures. We need people. So that's why we're judgmental, because it's just in our DNA. And I think everybody's judgmental in one way or another.
Yeah.
Atheists are judgmental about people with religion, you know, whether Islam is definitely judgmental about women.
Are. And,
you know, everybody has their own, you know, judgments or whatever, but it's
but
like
when you acknowledge that, then you can start to change.
If I could give, because I agree with all three of you, but if I could give the opposite side of the spectrum here really quick, is I will say that another thing that happens a lot is people people perceive it as judgment when actually I believe that we're in an area now, you know, you've got churches that are allowing like drag queen shows in their church and all this other kind of stuff. There is a difference between, but
to not be perceived as judgmental. Well, no, maybe.
Yeah. But what I'm saying is there's a difference between standing what you know to be biblically true.
Totally.
You're like, no. Don't get me wrong. That's wrong. The Bible says it's wrong. I didn't say it's wrong. The Bible says that's wrong.
Yeah.
So therefore it is wrong. However, as a Christian, I love you and I'm not going to throw stones at you. And I'd love to be your friend and get to know you and show you what God has done with me because I'm a horrible person. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Jesus still loves me, to quote Hannah B. from The Bachelor.
Oh my gosh.
Anyway,
don't quote
but
her.
What I'm saying is I think that we also are entering into this realm where Christians and people in the church don't want to be perceived as judgmental.
Yeah.
So now they're also no longer standing firm in what they know that they should be standing firm in.
I mean, you're hitting a lot for me right now, just in general, because you're going from Christians now that are going public about losing their faith.
Right.
Yet we struggle about going public about the faith that we currently possess.
Exactly.
And we do in a land and a culture and a time, a society that is constantly now giving their life, giving things away for free because they want to have influence or popularity, whatever it is. What happened to our faith being our boldness and having the courage to stand up and say, no, I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
And I,
somebody needs to speak, man. Somebody needs to start standing up. And we've had this conversation. When you've got politicians taking scripture out of context to push their own agendas, we need people to be bold, to be loud, and to be honestly aggressive and say, no, that is not what the Bible says. The Bible does not say that. As a Christian, I love you, and I'm no better than you as a Christian, but the Bible's word is true. The Bible does not say that. Mm. And we need people, we need Christians to stand up and say, no, we're not going to let you lie to people because that's not what it says. We are super over time. Micah, thanks for coming on, man. Yeah. I really liked the conversation. There's not enough time.
We could talk for hours on this.
5 hours later.
But hashtag Dear America, let us know. Let us know if you'd like us to break this down in a series. I think it would be cool to do a series of like the top three or four biggest questions that people have about Christianity and kind of, you know, and break it down and fight against this mindset of, well, Christians don't really talk about it. Micah, thanks for coming. Real quick, where can everybody find you? And more importantly right now, your book.
Yeah, MicahBerteau.com. Obviously, that's all my social media. It's probably one of the hardest names to spell in the world. MicahBert. So yeah, all that stuff. You can find that anywhere books are sold. Amazon's pre-selling it right now.
And what's the name again for everybody?
Love Changes Everything. Finding What's Real in a World Full of Fake.
Awesome.
Micah Berteau, just in case you need that.
Right now, it goes live September 3rd, but it is available for pre-order right now.
What's your Instagram one? Spell your last name, because it is hard.
That's what I'm saying. My name is, it's a tricky one. BERTEAU.
There it is. You got to go slow.
That's all who's Louisiana,
baby.
Yeah. I'm a Cajun.
Go pre-order Love Changes Everything right now. Go do it. Alyssa, where can they find you?
Alyssa Allen on Instagram and Facebook.
Jake.
Instagram, producer_Jake.
And I am Graham Allen. You can find me pretty much anywhere just by searching my name. That's all we have for this episode of the Dear America podcast. Thanks so much for joining, and we'll see you again next time.
Bye.
See ya.